What is up and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football Lovers Podcast. I am your host, Jared Gordon, and I would like to first thank you for listening and taking time out of your day to listen to me. And if you haven't done so already, please go and follow me on Instagram at Fantasy Football Lovers for amazing content. Now I'll be discussing in this episode my favorite dynasty values in the NFC North. Starting off with the Green Bay Packers, I have AJ Dillon. I know a lot of people have mixed reviews on him, and honestly, when he first got drafted, I didn't like his landing spot either. But I have obviously, you know, warmed up to him being there, and I'm going to give you my reasoning why. Let's first look at his traits. He's 6 foot, 245 pounds, and runs a 4.53 40. He's a great height, speed, weight guy, and has incredible burst. He's been talked about being kind of like Derrick Henry, and it wouldn't make a lot of sense that Matt LaFleur would be looking for a Henry-esque type of player, since he did coach him in Tennessee, and he must have a style of running back that he likes to use in that offense of his. So let's also talk about his production. If we want to say, you know, Jonathan Taylor has amazing production every year, we need to be talking about Dillon, who was behind a, you know, shittier old line and managed to get 1,589 yards, 5.3 yards per carry, 1,108 yards, 4.9 yards per carry, and 1,685 yards, 5.3 yards per carry again in his three seasons at Boston College. You know, call me crazy, but I think he might be a steal after all is said and done. I mean, if you watch this guy, man, he's a goddamn tank. You know, just running over people like they're pieces of garbage, you know, in his way. He has freaking thunder thighs, and he has a nasty stiff arm. He's being taken as the RB41, 133 overall. Now, I don't believe he'll be a day one starter, but by year two, I'm expecting huge things from him, with, I assume, the Packers are probably not going to be re-signing Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, and he's going to end up being the bell cow. Next, I have the Minnesota Vikings, and I got Irv Smith Jr., who is in a fantastic spot this year to take the reins from Kyle Rudolph, who's 30 years old, while Smith, on the other hand, he's barely turning 22. I've said it once before, and I will always say it, rookie tight ends never produce consistently. But in year one, but you know, if they do show glimpses of success and slowly start to become more involved, then more than likely in year two is when you see major breakouts. And what year is this for Mr. Smith? Oh yeah, it's year two, and he was getting more snap share throughout the season. You know, he had flashes of excellence. And it was to be expected that he didn't, consistently do it because it was his rookie year. So I think even if he doesn't break out this year, it's only a matter of time. We know he has the skills and the body to do it. You know, he's 6'2", 240, and runs a 4.63. You know, once he's given that opportunity to completely have it all to himself, or at least, you know, majority of it, he's going to be a tight end one. Especially with that role, and produce at a minimum tight end two numbers. At minimum, every week, which sounds pretty good. You know, the only downside is, you know, people are already hyping him up right now, so his value has been, you know, it's a little lesser of a value. You know, he's the tight end 14, so it's pretty high up there. And the 140th overall, I mean, he's still worth a grab, though, if you're going to be going for youth and upside, especially in your league. And now on to the Detroit Lions, who I have an interesting prospect at the wide receiver position in Quintez Cephas, who was named by now his current teammate, Jeff Okuda, the best wide receiver he faced in college, which even he said, don't pay attention to his 40 time, because if you do, you'll be very hesitant on him. As, you know, his 40 time was a mere 4.73. While he is only 6'1", 200 pounds, you know, that doesn't look great. Also, you know, his hands, they could also be a problem, as, you know, they're only 8 3/4 inches long. You know, and he did have a bunch of drop passes in college. However, after all that negativity I just said, let's see why he could succeed in Detroit. One, he's the next man up if Danny Amendola gets hurt, cut, or traded. Also, Marvin Jones Jr. isn't getting any younger, as he is already 30. Two, he's dirt cheap in drafts, going as the wide receiver 109 and 237th overall. And lastly, he's still a talented wide receiver that shows up on tape and clearly is respected by his peers. So, yeah, go ahead and give him a job. Throw a dart. You know, in the dark, see if you, you know, get that bullseye. You know, take a chance on him, man. Because he might surprise you later on down the line. And finally, you know, we got the Chicago Bears. And I have nobody other than to talk about than Anthony Miller. He's not only a value for this year, but you're getting him while he's going to be going on the up and up. You know, I only see a bright future for this guy, at least in this system. You know, such as this year, I'm expecting him to be, you know, roughly around, you know, the wide receiver 38. And yet he's being drafted as the wide receiver 57, 128th overall. And this is his breakout year. I'm calling it right now. After this, I only see his future getting better, with hopefully more consistent quarterback play in either Nick Foles or rookie quarterback. And yes, I'm okay with a rookie quarterback over Foles and Trubisky at this point. You know, and Allen Robinson has already stated that he's trying to stay in Chicago. For what? You know, I don't know. But nevertheless, him and Miller can be one hell of a tandem for their near future. Some reasons to like Miller this year, though, is he's playing in the slot, you know, which most of the time it's one of Foles' favorite guys to go to, regardless of the team that he's on. Or, you know, even if Trubisky is starting, he began to build that chemistry late in the year where, you know, Miller was averaging 14.88 fantasy points through weeks 11 through 16. And no, I'm not going to count week 17 because he only played 28% of the snaps. So it was a pointless game to even throw in there. But that just goes to show, no matter who was at quarterback this year, I'm expecting him to do way better than last year. And once they approve their quarterback situation, like, completely, or if he decides to just move on and go to a better team and a better situation, he is an amazing option, as he runs such nice routes, breaking in and out of them super quickly, and he has just enough top-end speed, you know, to keep guys on their heels as he runs a 4.55, which is just enough. And, you know, that's going to do it for the show, guys. You know, as always, thank you for listening. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Also, you know, follow me on Instagram at FantasyFootballLovers once again. And I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day. You know, and see you back pretty soon. Have a good one.